All right, welcome back to Shoot Me Straight with Eddie and Dave. And today we have probably my favorite guest. Well, I'll say Trevin was a prior guest, but it's definitely up there, same level. My favorite female guest, the one, the only, the fierce, beautiful, intelligent. List could go on and on. Ava Grace.
Hello.
Yes. So this is my, for those of you who don't know, this is my daughter. Just turned 20. And last night, Dave and I were going to be doing a podcast, just him and I. And I jokingly, well, not jokingly, but just asked her. I was like, hey, do you want to go on? And she said yes. So here we are. I'm excited. I'm excited to have you on, Sissy.
Too. I'm excited.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Eddie texted me and said, Ava's coming with me. I thought, is she going to be on the podcast? How could we convince her to be? And you've already said yes.
Yeah. I said yes last night. I was like, oh, I don't really. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure this morning.
I'm just as excited.
Yeah, this morning I was doing my morning workout. And I was like, oh, I wonder if she's still going to do it. And then I went up and she was already getting ready. She's like, let's do this.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fun. What's cool is when I have my friends and guys that I haven't known for a long time, when I meet them, seeing how they respond to their family is a big tell for me of, like, their character. And just seeing you, getting to know you, Trevin, and Ryan, and y'all's relationships with Eddie and Andrea, you guys are so close.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much love in y'all's family.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny because it never really used to be like that, kind of. You know, like, this is the most, like, loving and love, I don't know.
That,
like,
we've
never been this close.
No.
Now that we're all older, we have never been this close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well... What do you think that has to do with, Sissy?
Well, it has to do with a lot of different things. I mean, Trevin and I were older, and then you guys had Ryan, and then you obviously were gone, and then Mom, and then we weren't there for the breaks and stuff.
Yeah, so I think we'll give a little backstory for people. So Ava and Trevin are both, and I hate saying this word, my stepkids, but
he raised us.
Yeah, when I married Mom, you were, what, three?
Oh, yeah.
I think Trevin was six going on seven, around there. Yeah, so I've peed on him.
And
oh, yes.
We've laughed and cried and all that stuff. Like, it's, this is my dad. So yeah. I don't like when people are like, oh, your stepdad. I'm like, no, that's my dad. Like, whatever.
Well, I feel like when when me and Mom got together, and then obviously you guys came out to San Diego to live with me, and it's definitely it's an awkward, not awkward, it's just an experience that you can't, just because you marry somebody that you love and they have kids does not earn you the title of dad, or I would even say stepdad. You have to earn that, I believe. And I think that's what, when we first got together and you guys were young, I never was like, oh, I'm your dad, or like, call me this. Like, I just let you and Trevin sort of do that on your own.
Yeah.
Right, because I had to earn that title, and I think I do remember. Well, you started to call me Daddy Eddie.
Yeah,
that's
And on your guys' wedding day, I was getting married to you.
Yes, you were, and you're well. That and that is the truth. You were getting married to me.
Yes, yeah. That's all I told Mom. I don't really remember, but that's all I told Mom. Really, was that I was marrying you, and I was upset because Mom was in white too or something. So, yeah. But
you can't have two divas in the same room.
Oh, no. But, yeah, that was, me and Trevin were gone during summer, winter, and spring breaks. And he was deployed, so it was hard to, like, get to know you. and mom was always around and whatever. And then we'd talk to you on the phone and everything. Yeah. And then we were, I mean, Ryan was younger. So it just like, even in high school, I mean, me and mom fought like cats and dogs, kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, that's just what you go through with your mom, I guess, with me. And obviously me and Ryan fought a lot. Like, we literally, I honestly, we have not like fought in a really long time, because I don't know, I just think it's a part of growing up.
It is. And I'll tell you, I was worried about you two for a long time. I was like,
yeah,
I used to tell mom, I'm like, dude, what are they going to be, that sibling couple that's like, they just hate each other, yeah, all the way into their old age. But that was during, you know, you were in high school and, you know, going up to, leading up to college. And Ryan obviously was, you know, Ryan.
Yeah.
And
oh my gosh.
He hasn't, yeah, he doesn't change.
Also, I wanted to be the youngest and I'm a girl.
Yep.
So that did play a factor too. It's just like,
you went from being the baby to there's another baby.
Well, yeah, kind of. There, yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
with mixed in with our just crazy, environment that we lived in, like, yeah, the scheduling and everything. So when Ryan was born, you know, obviously that was a huge thing too for me and mom, because you guys were going back and forth.
Yes.
And then Ryan was staying there. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a weird situation, right? But it was, you know, it was the situation, and I think we did our best to try and mitigate any, I don't know, like.
I would just come back with the most horrendous attitude. Oh. Like, I would come back. So they lived pretty much across the country, and we obviously lived in San Diego. So I would spend 6 to 7 weeks, my whole summer there, and my pretty much whole spring break. I had no friends there. I never had like I had like one summer vacation or two. I don't know. I didn't have like, you know, it was like divorced parents. Mm-hmm. And so I was really lonely. Mm-hmm. And then there was a person who would like influence me and talk bad about them, my mom especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say obviously, but like they did talk bad about him, and they would talk bad about Ryan. And so that's where most of my hatred towards Ryan when we were young came from. Because, yeah, I'm young, and they're just
feeding that.
Yeah,
we'll say like it. Those two, and we won't say their names or anything, but you know, they were, you know, your dad and then your stepmom.
Yeah,
they did not handle being parents the way that I would have, or mom would have.
Or that you did, the way that you did handle.
Yeah, we did our best. I mean, I didn't agree, and me and mom knew exactly what they were doing the whole time. It wasn't something that was, like, hidden. But at the same time, we were like, we are going to maintain the high ground, and
yeah,
we're going to do our best not to badmouth or say anything negative, yeah, about them.
That's literally the exact, so it's like them being very nice, and not just because like I'm here now, but like it was seriously like the good and the bad, and I didn't realize it, but they were so like, not bad, but they were so
manipulative. Yes.
That I was like, they're the best people in the world, like what do you guys mean? And Trevin, he was obviously older, and he just didn't really like to interact with them, or he was very secluded and very, like, kept to himself. And I was the baby there. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing, too. Mm-hmm. And they were just constantly, I mean, I don't, like, they were just constantly saying things about everyone in California.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm young. Like, I want to fit in, and I'm the baby, and they give me what I want, mm-hmm, with, like, food and clothes and stuff. So it's like, of course, I'm going to be influenced, and then that's what I said, I would come back to California and have this thought about my own mother and,
yeah,
you, yeah, and Ryan, which I didn't even know I was thinking about like that about Ryan until, yeah, my mom said it like a couple years ago. She was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a big reason that you and Ryan fought a lot is because you were being told that he was better than you and they liked him better and mm-hmm. he was getting spoiled while you were gone and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that was a big thing, which wasn't true. And they never really did. And they trusted me and they trusted that. I mean, they dealt with me like when I came back. I'm telling you, I was horrendous. I was like,
oh, you weren't horrendous.
I was really,
we knew
something.
That,
yeah,
it's we just, knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. I think we had the one big, it was one big clash near the end, where you were like, I want to move in with them. And
that's the best story. Yeah. Was it got to a point because they had tried to manipulate Trevin into moving with them, and he had been like, no, I'm good. But I had been spoiled and whatever and talked to and whatever for years. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? I do. I want to move in with you guys, and I want to be here with you guys because you're the best people on earth, and I put you on this pedestal. And so I brought them into like our garage or something. Yes. And I was like, so scared. And I was like, oh, I think I want to live with them. And literally their response was like, okay, if that's what you want, then okay. And literally in that moment, I was just like, nope, that's not what I want. Like they love me more than anything. And I'm already going to but it's like literally in that moment, it was so like, okay, if that's what you want and if that's what you need, then we're here for you. We love you. I don't know. It was just
Well, when you brought that up, because I think you had brought it up to mom before I had gotten home.
Oh.
And so she told me, she's like, hey, she wants to talk to us about, she wants to move to Ohio. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So I had to think long and hard about it because obviously I did not want you to go.
I'm
But at the same time, I knew like going the route of fighting you on it or doing the same thing the people in Ohio were doing was like start bad mouthing them was not the correct way. So I just, I was like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell her we love her and that we would do anything for her. And if that's what she wanted, that was what her wish was. Then,
and you want me to stay with you.
Yeah. Oh, I told her, I was like, I don't want you to go, but if this is your choice, then you can go. Like I'm not going to hold you against your will, but I also told you just know that these decisions our final decisions, like if you go with them, it's not going to be as easy for you to come back if you change your mind.
Yeah.
And these are things you have to think about. And even though we would have taken you back in a heartbeat, but it was like it would have been a rigmarole if you had moved in with them.
Yeah.
And then I knew too, I was like, that's not a good environment
to
be in.
No, it wasn't.
But that's the way we went about it. And she was like,
literally in that moment, I was like, nope, just kidding. Like, I don't, yeah. It had, like, all come and, like.
How old were you?
I don't even know. I was like,
you had to be 13 or 14? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just started
high
school.
And that's the age where you decide in most states is 13 or 14. You can decide where you want to live. And so that's what I was being told, too, is like, oh, you can decide now. Because, you know, like. If you're 10, you're like, I want to go live with mommy. You're like, oh, we can't. But it was funny because one state that you have to be 18 to decide where you live is Indiana. And that's where the court was in Indiana. So when that had happened and I had decided to stay. And then when we had moved here, I was a freshman in high school. And which I was loving. I was like, they moved me at the perfect time. Like I was done with San Diego. I was like, I'm going to start a new school. I'm going to be a freshman. And that summer I had made all these friends or that school year, I had made all these friends and I wanted to stay and I live in the most beautiful place in the planet. And I'm like, who wants to go to Oshmayo? Like, I don't want to go there when I live at the beach. So I had brought it up to them and was like, hey, I don't think I want to come to Ohio anymore. And they texted me back and were like, it was just like, it pretty much opened up like this war. Like, they were like, you can't make this decision and you have to come see us and blah, 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 blah. And I was so scared because I was like, I'm going to have to go. Like, there's no way like I can. It's court mandated. Like, I have to go. And mom was like, I'm not going to force you to get on a plane. You know, like I can't really, I'm like 15 at this point or something. Like, I'm old enough to know that I don't want to go anymore. So I'm like, and I'm like, I just don't want to go. And I have all these friends here and I don't have friends there and blah, 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 blah. So anyways, we're texting back and forth and I'm like sending these paragraphs and then we get on a phone call and we're screaming at each other. And he's like, I moved to Tampa for you and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, hold on, what? He was like, I moved all the way down to Tampa from Ohio for you so I could be closer to you. And it was just another one of those, like, manipulation things. And I was just like, there's no way. And they hadn't told me. They hadn't updated me. They hadn't, like, they were like, we moved into this nice apart or whatever house for you. And we think you would love it here and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, you didn't even tell me that you moved across the country and – or whatever, I don't even know. But that was a huge shock, and I was like, you guys are crazy. Like, mm-hmm. You guys are going to try to tell me that you moved to Tampa for me? And I was like, okay. So then I really fought, and then we ended up.
Well, we ended up going to court.
Yes, okay.
Yep. Yeah, but that was.
Was that before or after your?
This was right this after, was right after the trial.
Yes.
So these. And this is,
it was crazy.
I do my best not to still badmouth them, but this is the type of people they are. They took what had happened to our family, to me, and used that to try and gain custody of Ava. And was like, they were like, well, you're not suitable to be a parent. You're not, you know, all this stuff. And of course, I was completely like lost at the time because I just got done with the trial of
for your life,
getting out of life without parole, and then literally having to go to court for this, which fine, you know, and trying to play catch up, but just seeing them and their excuses and the reasons why Ava should be with them was like beyond ludicrous, and it was just more of the same, like going from that trial where it's like a bunch of just nonsense, then going to this where it was more nonsense, and surprisingly enough, the judge pretty much was like, yes, she can go see them, or like she has to, you know, they have to have pretty much, I think that he sided with them.
Yeah.
And, but the mandate was what they had to, he had to
come up here
to visit you to do some kind of mm-hmm. course, and he refused to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the end of
just it. Just a course?
Yeah. It was, yes, well, some, I had
kind of like counseling.
Well, I had, this is really vulnerable, guys. I had court.
No, we're like getting deep into this.
I had court mandated, therapy from him, and which was beneficial to me because I think therapy is great. I think everybody should go to therapy. I think it's amazing. But yeah, the agreement was that I would have to go see them. But one of my complaints was that he never came and saw us, or he never made the effort to come and see me and my brother, which was also a big thing because one of my main arguments was Trevin did not speak to them anymore. He was at peace with them in himself, but he had cut them off and was like, these are my boundaries. Please don't cross them anymore. Like, I don't really want to speak to you. So that was my main thing. I was like, you have really lost one kid. You're about to lose another. Do you really want to fight this? And do you really want to drag me to court? Because I was like, we don't need to go to court for this. We can make an agreement with ourselves. Like, me and you can talk about this because I'm pretty much an adult. Like, I know what I want.
Like, you've been an adult since you were 3 years old.
Literally. I know what I want. And they were like, now we're going to court. So they dragged my ass to court. And I was like, okay. Like, I don't know. It was just crazy. And then I like to say that also it's important to note that that was that judge's last ruling in his career. And they were saying all this crazy stuff, and I thought we had, I don't even know.
And one thing, though, is they're putting you in the middle.
Yeah.
Though,
oh, Ava, they did.
As that's a pawn to play games, possibly at you and Andrea.
My entire life, we were in the middle.
And you guys, despite, I mean, having bad feelings towards them, you guys refused to put a child in the middle and play as a pawn.
Literally.
And I still am of the feeling like that is their dad. I have no
biological.
I have no right to interfere with that relationship, good or bad. Like he's a biological dad. So I'm like, he's earned that right to have that relationship with them, however he wants to treat it, whether good or bad. I cannot step in, and either, you know, and Andrea did a great job too of not stepping in and correcting them or trying to correct them, even when they were going down a bad path. It's like, okay, this is their choice, and all we cared about was Ava and Trevin. Like, we will do our best to restore them when they come back and they face all this manipulation and all this other stuff. They went through the ringer.
That was literally my entire childhood was being a pawn for them, basically.
The psychological games. The psychological games. I mean, they have damage on kids.
Oh yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And seeing you get better. I mean, you're a young woman now. I look at you and I'm nostalgic a little bit because I'm thinking of Everly and Winter. Yes. And I want them, if they're at where you're at, at 20, I'll be a happy dad.
Oh, you
know? So and I know this is that when in this off camera, when we've talked. Not one time have you ever referred to Ava or Trevin as stepkids.
Oh, my never. Gosh,
it
no.
is. That's my girl. That's my boy. Yeah. You know, from day one, you were like, I'm marrying Andrea and
marrying both of them.
And I'm becoming a dad of two.
Mm-hmm. And even though I had no idea what that entailed, I was like, you know what? I'm doing this.
And it takes
F around and find out.
That's right. Yeah, literally. Sometimes it's a good thing to F around and find out, you know?
It's just astonishing because it takes, I mean, being 20 now, I'm like, it takes a special kind of human, oh my gosh, to be able to take on two kids and a single mom who's broken and he's got his career. Oh my gosh, I'm like just so grateful. Sissy, you have no idea.
You're going to make me cry on here.
I know. It's just, no. I don't know. It's like.
Well, what do you think? So, because you have been through a lot. I mean, with your biological and having to deal with all that. But you also, you know, living in San Diego, having a dad that was gone. Like, I was gone all the time doing deployments or training. And then, obviously, the culmination with all the stuff we went through near the end. I mean, what is your take on having to go through, I mean, because it's all trauma, like in some form or fashion. What do you think that did to you in the end? Like right now?
I don't know. I got to know you. Mm-hmm. Now I kind of know who you are. Like that's all I really felt was absent was like, I know who you are and what you do and your daddy's on deployment. And I just live my life. I didn't really know. I'm just like, I'm so like, I got those shades over my eyes. I don't really know. Like
as a kid, you don't know different, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so what your baseline is for normal, even though later on when you, as you get older, you go, wait a minute, you know, just like my childhood,
I
was adopted. So I was
really,
yeah. So my biological mom, biological dad, that's not my mom and dad.
Oh,
you know, and I can relate there of going, got a biological mom up in, I guess, Madison, Wisconsin now. But, like, that's not my mom.
Yeah, no.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think of when, as you start to get older, you start to go, wait a minute, other people didn't grow up like this.
Yeah.
And you learn more and you grow from it.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of ways, y'all's story, the Gallagher story is around resilience and like struggle and growing through it and overcoming.
Yeah.
And that's what I asked you that question, like, what do you think you came from? Because I'll tell you what I think from a dad's perspective and watching you grow up and like everything that you've had to go through, because it's none of it has gone like it's not unnoticed. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
I always knew you dealing with your parents and then having to come back with us. And like that struggle was not easy for you. But at the same time, I wish, you know, you could always be like, I wish, you know, going back now, I could have done this A, B, or C. But we were all going through it at the same time. So I think we were all trying to figure out how to best work around that situation. And then also me being gone all the time, coming back in, and you were going through, you know, what other kids go through growing up, the regular struggles of becoming a high school or a teenager and just all the issues that come with that.
And being a girl,
yes. But then also going through, you know, the stuff we did at the end of my career, I think I look at it all as a, even though it was a struggle at times, it's a huge blessing because looking at you now and the woman that you've become, to me, I'm like, you are probably one of the strongest individuals that I know. I mean, to the point where I have to go to you. When I'm going to my own daughter for advice or just to like, hey, I'm having issues or like, and that we have those conversations and she's able to like pour into me advice that, cause she's gone through struggles. That's when I know I'm like, dude, I have raised some badass, like strong human beings that are way above my skill level on some aspects, especially when dealing with emotions. But I could not be more proud of you. And then I'm also like, I'm so thankful and grateful for all those struggles that we went through. And like you said at the beginning, like the household we're in now is like, we are, you know, and that's why I call us a clan. I'm like, no one gets in, no one gets out of this clan. This tight unit is all we have. And like, that's all you're going to have growing up, like until you're old. Like that's, your family is the most important. And that's the way I was like raised with my family, you know, like there's only my mom, dad, and then my brother. Yeah. Right. And we moved around every 2 years. So I grew up in that, like, this is my unit. I'm part of this team. Even though I go, you know, I'll go make other friends and do all this stuff. Like my unit is the most important thing to me of, you know, my family component. And that's what I've seen it in all of you have taken that on.
Yeah.
Which I'm beyond thankful for, because there was times where I was questioning. I was like, how's this going to work out? Especially, you know, like we talked about with the fighting between you and Ryan.
Oh yeah.
And one of the main reasons for that. I know that, you know, your biological had implanted some seeds. But also it's you and Ryan are two of the same.
Oh gosh.
You guys are the same
no, we're
exact
not.
Attitude.
Yes. No, we're not.
Oh,
I'll still fight that. We are not the same.
Hey, so let me back up. So before you moved here, right, when everything shook down, where from your perspective, when they came and raided the house and you weren't at the house, right?
No, I was in Ohio.
Got it.
I was there for summer, right?
Yeah.
Was that summer?
Yep. You were the first one to know about it,
though. I was the first one to know because I had a neighbor friend who, like, our house was here and then they lived right here. And I was just sitting at the house in Ohio and I get a phone call from her. Her mom, it's her mom. And I pick up and she's like, what's going on? What's going on? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? She's like, there's men outside your house. There's men. And there's a bunch of black cars. And I don't know what's going on. Where are your parents? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, let me call my mom. And so I call my mom and she's sending me pictures of what's going on. She's like through the
blindfolds.
Yeah, the blindfolds. There's like a whole row of black cars, black vans in front of my house and all this stuff. And I call mom. I'm like, mom, where are you? And she's like, oh, like I'm at lunch or something. I don't even know where she was. She was at lunch with like someone. And I was like, well, her mom just called me and was like, there's a bunch of people at our house and black cars and blah, 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 blah. And she was like, what? what do you mean? And, like, I don't know. Like, we were all confused. I was definitely confused. I was like, I'm not even. She was like, because on the phone with the mom, she was like, are you safe? Are you safe? Where are you? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm not in California. Like, I'm fine. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, your brothers and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, what? What is happening? So I call mom and then, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I kind of.
Then your mom rushed back home.
Yeah.
And, but your, Trevin and Ryan were there. Trevin was watching Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Watch. Was Trevin 18?
Trevin had just turned 18.
Yeah. Trevin was 18.
Which was their.
May, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse why they came into the house with guns blazing. Well, not blazing, but guns
why
pointed.
They were able to come into your house and raid it is because they tricked him into letting him in.
Yeah.
Correct?
Very courageous of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't know what was happening, and then I don't really know what happened after that. But
did you start to, like, get filled in and going, okay...
No.
Dad's been arrested.
No.
He's
no, I think we...
We had moved before I knew.
Yes, so we had moved down here. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we didn't. We moved after that.
No, because...
Yeah, because they...
We were in this house when I got the phone call.
Oh, when I got arrested.
When I didn't know you got arrested.
When, we had gotten the house raided... A week later, we moved down here, mm-hmm. and then I had come back to San Diego after moving you guys in here, getting settled in, went back
I
there.
I was still in Ohio, because you guys did the cross-country trip.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's all, like, a whirlwind.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was all, like, she was completely...
I was out of the loop. I was in another state, like, and they were moving states, so I didn't know what was happening. I just know that they had got here, and I was excited to see my new house. Mm-hmm. But by the time that I had flown back down here and seen the new house, you weren't there.
I think I went back to San Diego.
Yeah.
Yep, and then that's when I got arrested.
Mm-hmm. And mom, like, didn't really tell us anything. And I mean, she just kept us... happy and in school, and like she didn't want us to worry, and she was trying to deal with it on the back end or whatever she was doing. And it wasn't until I think you were in the brig for a couple months, maybe, I don't even know.
I think I was in the brig for a couple weeks, and when finally were like, I had talked to you and Ryan,
yes,
and then told you.
Well, because
I wasn't like getting into details, but I was like, listen, everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then
you said, sissy, I'm in jail.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh?
Well, yeah, might as well rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah. Mom like came in. She's like, Dad wants to talk to you. And I hadn't talked to you. And I don't know when the last time I talked to you was, but I remember it was like, oh, I hadn't talked to him in a second. So I'm excited to talk to you. I get the phone. I'm like, hi. He goes, sissy, I'm in jail. And I was like, what do you mean? And
very
then I see
smooth way of putting it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like, which that was like the most like confused and shocking.
Well, I think I waited until because when I was in jail, I was like, no, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Like, this is all a mistake. But then once I figured out I wasn't going anywhere for a long time, for like months, that's when I was like, okay, I think that's me and mom had a conversation.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
I was like, we have to tell them what's going on because this is out of our control now.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, I had called you, told you, and then I had called Trevin because Trevin was at college.
Well, yeah, it was me and then Ryan, mm-hmm. and I was a mess, obviously, and I was like just confused and didn't know like what was happening and whatever. And I don't think I even put two and two together about the raid and the him. Now he's in jail or whatever.
Yeah. So. Well, and then, so from that point forward, were you, like, when you started seeing, like, Fox News and, like all the stuff, were you following it at that point and talking? Did y'all open up more? I know your mom was trying to protect y'all
as possible. She did a great job of, like, she didn't, like, shield our eyes or anything. She just was, like, we're handling it. We're dealing with it. And, you know, I didn't ask much. I was a new girl at school. Yeah. Like, if I'm being honest, I didn't really pay attention to it as much.
That's a good thing.
I didn't, and that's what I kind of accredit mom for, was like, I was still living and I was still going to school and I was still, you know, I didn't really know.
Yeah.
I didn't know until we went to California, like how severe it was. And then I was interested. And then I was like, well, I want to go to court in California. So that's just kind of how I just lived my life. I didn't really get involved. I didn't really ask questions, I don't think.
Yeah. Kudos to your mom.
Yeah.
For sure. For like letting you have that. That mindset, you know, like.
Well, think if it was the opposite way. What if Andrea was like, oh my God, the government's trying to pin Eddie and
your
all
dad's
this
in
fear
jail. Yeah.
And you as a kid are living months and months and months in fear.
Yep.
And, you know, not understanding. And I think that was a great move.
Oh, I'm beyond thankful that she was like strong and smart enough to keep us and let us live instead of, you know, keeping us in fear and in the unknown, which she was in. Like, she was dealing with, you guys were dealing with all of that, and her and Sean were dealing with the unknown, but we were living with the known on the beach. Like, I was,
as you should be.
Yeah. I was able to like grow up and have a great high school experience because they, you know, they,
Well, I think as a dad, if going through all that with you, you're like, just the knowing that, hey, the kids, they're safe and happy and living their life, that gives at least a little bit of comfort.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this, like, because I was obviously locked up. I had no idea how Andrea was handling the kids, like, because I wasn't there. And so that was probably my biggest worry or my biggest like torment when I was in there, that would just like drive me insane, was what this situation could possibly be doing to my kids. Like, and like what everything they had
do
done
about
and
it.
Yeah, and I'm as a father, you're like, I'm the one, there's, you can pretty much break down being a dad into two easy categories, which they're not easy, but it's like you're a protector and you're a provider, right? And you're there to, you know, protect your kids and your family because you love them, and you also provide for them. Now, there's a lot of things that entail in both of those, but when you're locked up and you have, you're out, no control, you've just taken the purpose of being a dad. Like, I literally cannot do anything to protect my kids right now. And so that was a hard thing to deal with when I was in there, and that's what would, that thought alone would keep me up more than any, like, even facing, like, facing life without parole was definitely a big, you know, cloud that I had over me. But it wasn't the fact that, okay, I'm facing life without parole. It's my family is going to be without me for the rest of their lives. And so that was what was like really driving me crazy in there. Cause you're just, there's nothing you could do about it. And that's eventually I had to succumb and give everything to God, because I'm like, I'm not in control. And I had to go to him for help. It wasn't easy, but at the same time, I mean, I'll say this till I go to my grave, is thank God I'm married to Andrea Gallagher, who, I mean, the fact that she was able to shield the kids from what was going on, let them lead a normal life, you know, as best as, you know, the situation would allow. But then also every waking moment she was fighting to get me out, right? That's, I mean, I couldn't even comprehend what that takes.
Yeah.
It's.
You said the two words that I think pretty much are two of the biggest characteristics, smart and strong. She's smart and she's strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And vicious.
Well, when it comes to the family,
don't mess with Mama Bear. Mm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's what I told her yesterday. I was like, I wish when I grow up, I want to be just like you, because I don't know. I watched her negotiate for a desk, and I was like, oh my gosh,
that's probably the biggest compliment you could give mom.
Yeah, I just was like,
is that right there? I mean, great. I think every parent wants to know they're doing something right, and even though we're not half the time, but your kid is like, hey, I want to be just like you, you know, then I think that's it right there.
Yeah. Well, and as a parent, if you're a parent and you don't have guilt, then that's not right. Like you're either one, the perfect parent, mm-hmm. or
there's no such thing.
You're full of it because you're not the perfect parent ever. And you're always going to kind of question, oh man, like I could have done that better, or I was selfish here and didn't really, like, I didn't connect with them when I should have, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that you guys, I mean, it's a total God deal. It's like you had the teams as your number one because you had to during that time, and God turned it around in order for you to have those moment in jail and brought up tenacity in you and tough skin, and also, but at the same time, didn't sacrifice the sweetness and like y'all are now getting the fruits of like all the hard work and stuff over the years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everything's in alignment now too. You know, Eddie, every time I see Eddie in here for a podcast, at some point during it, he talks about, hey, when it comes down to it, family is what matters, you know.
And yeah.
He talks about God more than I do. Like, I'm like, geez, go to seminary already. Like,
yeah, I don't know about that.
Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. And I would be, if I'm in your shoes right now, I've been like, don't let this time period, like, this is awesome. You guys are together, more love than you ever had in your family.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
At the end of that, though, towards the trial and all that, then you were kind of awakened to, okay, this is huge. This is a national thing.
I was excited when I saw Daily Mail on Snapchat, which now, dude, let me tell you, they had two posts, too. I have them screenshotted and saved still. Anyways.
Did you have people, because that point, weren't in college, but in high school, did you have people being like, oh, your dad's on the news? Oh, did you run into any of that?
I ran into one time. Well, I had a teacher my freshman year, and he was really great. He was my AP human geography teacher, and he really liked you, Mr. Libby.
Yeah.
He was really supportive. He was always really great. And I didn't talk about it much because I was just like, I didn't want to be a victim and like want this like big thing to be, you know, like, oh, you get an excuse for whatever, which I was always a great student anyways, but he was really great. And then I just ran into one student. Everyone like was supportive, and I mean, I didn't know much, so they didn't know much. And what I did know, I kept to myself, and I just kind of whatever. Mr. Libby was one of the ones who
he's awesome.
Well, Mr. Clymer, was after you had gotten out. And Mr. Clymer was my junior year world history, American history?
Yeah, American history. He had me come in and talk about
the
global war on terror.
He was AP
too. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was really great, Mr. Clymer. He loved you, and I don't think I told him. I think he knew that I was your daughter.
He figured it out,
eventually.
It wasn't too hard at that point.
But, no, I didn't get much, like...
That's awesome.
People were saying stuff, no. And then I had... Luke dealt with a lot of it, too. When I was upset or angry, it was at him because of...
The job of any boyfriend.
Yeah. He got a lot of it, and he stuck with me. And, you know, he didn't know who I was, so obviously. We were getting to know each other when we first... liked each other, I guess. And then one day his grandpa was like, is this your girlfriend's dad on the news? And then he was like, hey, is this your dad on the news? And I was like, yep. So he was a big support, and he was a big driving factor into why I was having a good time and why life seemed a little bit easier.
Yeah, you're able to keep a level head.
Yeah.
I know that, you never told me anything if kids were saying whatever. I remember getting out when all that was done. And then, I think you were on social media at the time. You were getting like,
oh my gosh,
death threats.
It was, that was weird. There was like, I had always had a private Instagram account, and I have Snapchat as well, but I don't accept anyone. So, And Instagram allows you to like request to DM and then it'll come to me and it'll say like, I can read what it says, but I can either accept or deny it. But yeah, there was some of them that people were like,
there were some vicious ones.
Oh God, yeah. It was weird. So then I didn't listen to it, and I always showed mom or dad or whatever it was, and I obviously blocked them. And
she dealt with it better than I did.
Oh yeah, I was just like, this is weird. I'm gonna get out of this and whatever.
Yeah, people are weird. I was like, where can I find this piece of shit?
Well, that's also what gives me so much like clarity is like, dad's always got my back, and like he will protect me, and you know, I'm just like, nothing's gonna really happen to me if dad's there. So
nope, not if I not if I can
not if he can help it. So
like the what was that story of the homeless dude that tried to,
oh gosh, I went to court for that too.
No, this was in San Diego. The other one. You've always had some issues with the homeless or just wandering nut jobs. Yeah, I mean,
that's a good story. I was outside.
That's the one you told me. I don't know if you want to share that one.
Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's past the point of anything. And plus, where are they going to find that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, what happened? The guy was trying to give you money or lure you across the street.
No, so we were outside in the alley playing with the neighbor kids, me and Trevin were, and a homeless guy in a Hawaiian shirt came up, and he had a dollar. And, you know, I've always been money hungry. I love my money.
You don't say.
So he was like, "You want this dollar? Do you want this dollar?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want the dollar." And Trevin was with me, and he was like, "No, like you don't want the dollar." He's trying to corral me back, and he's, "No, you don't want it."
Good man.
He's like, "No, we don't want that." And I was like, "Yes, I do. I want the dollar." And so I think Trevin had went inside, and I was still talking to this guy, and then Dad had came out. He had just gotten back from a run or workout or something. He didn't even have a shirt on.
I was about to hop in the shower
when
Trevin came in and said some weirdo was trying to lure you across the street with the dollar.
He was right in front of me.
Or maybe he's okay. I wasn't out there. Yeah. All I know, that's all I had to hear. And
he was out there and he was like, "Go inside." And I was like, "Okay." And then, yeah, I feel like I heard the screams from the house.
Yeah, I found him.
It wasn't hard to miss him though. He was in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, he wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
You give him a name.
I left him alive enough to know that, hey, man, like, don't ever come back around this neighborhood again.
Yeah.
And he definitely was, you know, I gave him a chance, you know, and he answered wrong. And so that was it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that you know, hey, my dad will always protect me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some girls grow up that, and they don't know their dad has their absolute best in mind and will do anything for them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll say this, too. Like, having a daughter makes you grow as a man more than anything, well, at least for me. Like, because raising sons is like, okay, they're boys. You know how to, like, handle that. You handle it a lot differently than you do girls. And you know, there's mistakes I've made with them as well, but it's more natural. And plus, I grew up with no sisters. I had one brother, but with Ava, it was definitely a challenge for me to, like, okay, how do I deal with this female individual that's going through these issues? And you cannot treat them the same way as you do a boy. You can be like, hey, get up, let's go, suck it up. With a girl, you're like, all right, how? And she's taught me along the way, and it's made me definitely grow as a person, a human, and a man. I mean, it's been remarkable, and that's why
it's just more emotional.
Definitely more.
And
emotional.
You're not going to tell me, like,
I've had to work on my emotions for sure.
Yeah.
Or my empathy. Yeah, but it's all been for the good. You know.
About the most precious things you can have, though, is having a little girl.
Yes, my little princess. That's right. Yep. And now she's so what are you doing now? Let them know.
Oh, I'm in nursing school.
Yep.
Ugh. I'm in my first semester of nursing school. I've been in college. I'm a sophomore in my second semester, but I just started nursing school this semester, and it's been good. I passed one of my classes with an A, so that was fun. It was just a 7-week course, so it wasn't too bad, and it was foundations of nursing. So I didn't think I was going to pass, but I passed. So
of course you're going to pass. You put in all the hard work. And that's the other thing. She is definitely the hardest worker out of the whole family. I'm like baffled how she does everything. But I mean, the second she comes back on break, she's already got a job. She's working.
Yeah.
And then she goes right back after that to college to start working again. And then you just got your own apartment.
Yep. I'm about to sign a lease on my apartment with my two roommates. So that's going to be fun.
Awesome.
Because we're in the dorms. So, and I go to a private school, so they don't like allow you to move off campus in like 3 years or something. But I'm like, I'm signing the lease and telling them I'm leaving. So,
okay.
It'll be good. And then, yeah, I'm in a sorority. So, which I never thought I was going to be in a sorority. But the good thing about the sorority is it's a sorority full of girls who never thought they were going to be in a sorority. So, okay. It's a great community. So, that's like one of my outlets is and where I have. Where I met my two closest friends now. And one of my friends is on the way. She's on a plane down here right now. Well, my roommate.
Cool.
Yeah, Matilda. I love her. She's great.
Yeah, you got a good group up there. I was up there, we were there 2 weeks ago for your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so. I got to meet all your friends. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a... I assessed all of them.
Yeah.
When I was in there, and I'm like, all right, these are good kids.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by good people. And if I'm not, then we weed them out, but...
Yeah.
It's good. It's fun navigating college because it's like, I mean, I still feel more, I don't like want to toot my own horn, but I still feel more mature and more independent and more put together than most of the kids in college. And it's like, I'm learning and growing with them, but I feel like I have the upper hand because I have gone through a lot, and especially with relationships. Yeah. Oh my gosh, these girls and their boys, and oh my gosh. Like, I'm so thankful that I have Luke, because I'm like, I didn't have to go through these year-long, like, dragged-out relationships with these stupid frat boys. Oh my gosh. But
that's right, stay away from them.
Yeah, but, yeah, I find them, like, coming to me for advice about the relationship stuff, and it's, like, stuff that I had done or, like, arguments that I have had, and... Like, they're asking for advice about it, and it's just, like, it's fun. I don't know. College is fun, and I'm not, like, doing, like, a whole lot, but, like, it is good.
No, you're crushing it, for sure.
How do you feel like your relationship with Andrea is now?
Oh, my gosh. We used to fight like cats and dogs.
Two peas in a pod.
Yeah, we're definitely very similar, but it kind of is the same thing with all of my family members. Like, we're much closer now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these girls I see, they call their mom 70 times a day. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'll ever be like that, but I do call my mom more, and I talk to her more, and I try to open up more. And it's way better than it's been in a really long time. So, and I'm so thankful for it. And I see her, like, grow more. And I don't know. She's
a force.
She's, like, literally everything I want to be for my kids.
She's a good role model.
Oh, yeah. They are. So,
yeah.
It's just, it's really great. I don't know. I like having a mom, but also a friend. And, you know, she's strict, but she loves me. So,
yeah.
Loves me till the end.
Yeah, and she's strict because she loves you.
She literally would do anything, and she's fun. She likes to shop, so that's fun, too.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you that ever since you left for college, she is definitely missing having a...
oh, my gosh, yeah.
...another woman around the house. She's got to deal with me and Ryan. Mm-hmm. And then Trevin was there for a bit, so it was basically a frat house that she was living in.
Yep,
so
and that's what she says.
Driving her crazy.
Yep. She's like, it's weird being around all boys because you're not allowed to express your emotions. And I'm so emotional that it's like, well, I'm around all girls all day because I live on a hall with all the girls in my sorority. So it's like I'm allowed to cry when I want to, but the way she explains it to me is like, she has to have a reason to cry at home, because if you're crying at home, then like the boys are like, oh, what are you crying about? Like, you have to have a reason. You know, like, sometimes we just need to cry. And all this she is has is Lily, so it's like.
Oh, so, yes.
That's funny.
It's good.
Yeah. We're enjoying the time that you're home right now.
Yeah, I am too.
And I'm glad that you decided to come on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I've had times where I've come home and Fran has been, especially when, like, certain periods of pregnancy mm-hmm. along the way, that she's, like, on the couch, she's just crying. And I'm mm-hmm. like, there's never one time in my life that I've cried without a huge reason behind it. And she's like, I'm like, what's happening? Like, you don't yeah. know how to, it's like a yeah. landfill. You're like, mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just, and I'm like, okay. Like, well, you don't know how to handle it.
Well, I think the one thing I've, big lesson is like with girls when they're crying or they have something going on. For men, you automatically, like, you see a problem. Like, you're crying.
Yeah.
I want to fix it. How can I fix this? And sometimes it's like, no, just sit there just and listen. And there really is no end state of, like, okay, this is the answer to you stop crying. You just have to sit there and listen to them and
yeah. mm-hmm.
let them vent. And they're even though in our man brain, caveman brain, we're like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
What? Like, what? What's going to solve this? What do I have to do? Who do I have to crush? And no, it's like,
or we're hungry,
or yeah, that's always yeah. a possibility as well. They're hungry.
Yeah. See, I get angry when I'm hungry.
Oh, I get real sassy.
Oh yes.
Our house gets real sassy when we're hangry.
Yeah. And that is the other thing about our house as well is, you better have some thick skin.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because these kids have grown up around the team environment, mm-hmm. you know, they come into work with me, hang, you know, they have hung out with nothing but team guys their whole childhood, like, cause that's yeah. who we had around. And then I think mom, and it's the same thing. We're, if there's blood in the water, it's like, we're going to attack. And yeah. it's all out of love. Like
yeah.
in our house, if you're getting roasted and you're,
that's it means, how you say, that's how I much, love you.
Yes. Like, we love you. That's why we're paying attention to you more.
Call it and razzing.
Razzing, yeah. But then if you're not getting razzed, then there's an issue. Then it's like, well, we just don't even like yeah. you to pay attention enough.
But I'm also super sensitive, so I don't get razzed.
Yeah.
No. I do get razzed, but
oh, everybody does.
I cry.
And everybody is super sensitive in the house, too, as well. Yeah. It's at times where if you're the one getting, including myself, if I'm getting attacked, then you're like, oh, crap. Like, I have, like,
well, 'cause we'll
all
just
four of
back.
These kids.
Yeah. Well, I'll just yeah. sit back and just go in on each other, which is fun.
It is.
It's we love each other.
It helps you get thick skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I look at you, Ava. I met you when y'all first moved in on the block, so 5 years ago. I can't believe it's been 5 years. So at 15, and now I see, like, a thriving young woman, beautiful, successful.
Thank you.
Like, I'm so excited for your future.
Thank you.
And also what I see is a growing relationship with your dad that you never had just from proximity.
Yeah.
Just because he's on deployments back and forth and now getting to just spend good, great time together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm super excited for that. One thing, I'll flip it, though, and ask this last question. How have you seen your dad grow in the last 5 years?
Oh, geez.
Well, well, obviously he's learned a lot. Like, he had to learn how to, like, I don't know, like, the teams he was in, he just, like, you're surrounded by all of that, and then coming back to your family, that's not, like, the same thing at all. But he's just, I don't know, I feel like a lot of it has to do with his emotions.
Yeah.
And the way that he's grown with his emotions and his feelings. And, you know, he used to, we all know that he has to work out to feel good. And if he doesn't work out, he's a pain to be around. But, like, even from a couple years ago, it's like we had to, like, I don't know, like, walk on eggshells.
Well, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, speak, so we say had it, to, girl. Say everything.
We had to walk on eggshells when he was in his little fits because he was dealing with all of his 20 years of service and, like, his emotions and everything like that. And it's like we're still trying to live our lives, and he's learning with us and how to be, like, a part of the family and our dynamic or whatever. And now it's not as, like, harsh, or, like, we don't see him dipping as much as he would. And, like, we would know, like, his patterns of when he was going down and being super moody and super on edge or whatever. But he's dealt with that, and it's just been, I don't know, it's been significant.
Still dealing with it, yes.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's a constant work. He's learning and he's growing, and being around all of us is...
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah. But it has been a change that I've seen, is like he's just a lot more forgiving of himself, and he allows himself to have a break every once in a while. And I don't know, he does the cold plunge every day. That's something I would never do. Like,
well, unfortunately for your dad, yeah, he has to suffer it in order to feel good.
Yes, that's what it is. That'll never change, but it's I don't know. It's just a lot more, like, he's always had his drive and his love for us, and, you know, he would do anything for us, so, I don't know, he's just great. He's just my dad, like, yeah. That's all.
I think you said the biggest compliment to me, was it last night or the night before, when I think you were talking about, like, we were sitting around the table, and you're like, I can't believe you were a SEAL, or, like, you used to go and overseas and whatever, shoot people and do all these things. And I'm looking at her, and she's like, I just don't look, like, I look at you and you're my dad. Like, I don't see you doing any of that. And to me, that right there was one of the biggest, like, compliments. 'Cause I'm like, that's exactly what I want. I don't want you to look at me and see a Navy SEAL, or, like, see a person that this is what I do, you know, like, this is my, what I want you to see me as dad. And, like, that's all I want to be to you guys. 'Cause that tops anything.
Yeah.
Like, being SEAL, being whatever, being a dad, being a good dad tops everything. So that was, like, those little moments, you never know when you're saying it, but to me it hits hard, and I'm like, dude, all right. Like, I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited for y'all's family. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. I had a great time. Awesome.
You crushed it.
Yeah. Yay.
As I knew you would.
Will you do it with us again at some point? Maybe even co-host.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll come back in 5 years.
And you'd be on the other side of the table.
Okay, let's do my 5-year goals. Actually, 10-year goals.
Let's do it.
Before we do it.
Okay.
In 10 years, I would like to be a nurse practitioner and married. I want to be married right now. Well, I'd like to be married. I'll be 30, so we'll see if I'll have kids. Hopefully not, but
you know what I've told you, my advice on that.
Yeah, I don't want to have kids.
Live your 20s.
Yeah.
No kids.
I want to go travel.
No responsibilities.
Hopefully I went to the Bahamas by now, because I'm itching to go to the Bahamas. But yeah, I hope I have a good job and a great husband, and I want some farmland. And I want some chickens. So hopefully by 10 years from now, I have some chickens and some land.
Chickens, farmland, husband, nurse practitioner.
Yeah. Those are my goals.
Okay.
Can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
That's we'll do our best to make that happen.
Yeah.
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 Hopefully.
Awesome.
All right, Sissy. Well, I love you so much.
I love you.
Thank you for coming on. And we'll definitely have you back.
Yay.
Awesome.
All right. Out.
Nice, Seth. You did great.